It's good to be here today. I'm happy to see everybody that we have out with us. And praise God for your presence here this day. You know, a preacher by himself doesn't make a church. And kind of difficult when a preacher preaches to all empty pews. So every soul that's here is important. I think I'm thankful you're here today. And I hope and pray that you would be built up, edified, exhorted, and that you'll feel loved, because that's my intent. A few weeks ago, we had 26 here. The following Sunday, we had 15. Looks like today, we have 15. I got to thinking about that letter 26. 26, there are 26 letters in the alphabet. 26 letters, that's how many there are. And have you ever looked at a dictionary at the number of words that are made with those 26 letters? I have an unabridged dictionary at home, and it stands about that high. It's that thick. Not standing up edgeways, but laying out flat ways. It's about that high, and about that wide, and about that long. And it has a lot of words in it. And I got to thinking, how many words can you make with 26 letters? 26 is not very many. But in the English alphabet, in the Oxford English Dictionary, which only gives the root words, it don't give suffixes and prefixes and other forms of the words, there are 171,476 words. That's a lot of words. And according to my research that I did, it said that if you added other words, it's easily over 250,000 words in the English alphabet, and more being added all the time. 250,000 words from 26 little letters. That's a lot. You think of all the books and all the messages and all the things that are written with 26 little letters. It's amazing. But you let one of those letters be missing. You ever tried to write a letter without using a letter? You know, write a letter to somebody without using a particular letter in alphabet. It's difficult. Used to have an old typewriter at home, and it was really old, and some of the keys were broke off. One of the keys were broke off. Well, that one letter would make it hard to write somebody or to write a book with just one letter missing. You'd be amazed at the number of words that one letter would affect that you couldn't use it. You'd have to leave out, or you'd have to write it in. Or if it sticks, you know, if one of the letters sticks, and what if more than one sticking? What if more than one of the letters is broke? What a problem you would have trying to write somebody to tell them something with those letters missing. And some of the letters, you know, in the alphabet seem to be more important than others, but they're really not. All of them's important. Just some of them get used more than others. You know, like A, E, I, O, U, and Y. Can you imagine writing somebody without those letters? Making words without those letters? But they're not the ones that's used the most often. The most often used is S. S. And just plain little common dictionary, it's a part about that thick. The S part is. It's used a lot. But you know, you can give somebody a whole bunch of letters like they do on the Wheel of Fortune. They give them R, S, T, L, E, and still it's difficult to nearly impossible to solve the word phrase. Even with all those letters. And sometimes they won't use any of those letters. Sometimes only one of them be used in it. But can you imagine writing a message with 10 of your letters missing? You know, there was 26. And it was 15. Actually, that's 11 letters. Can you imagine writing a letter with 11 of those letters missing? You'd have a hard time coming up with words that you could write that didn't have any of those in it. It would be really difficult, wouldn't it, to write a letter. You know, every one of those letters of the alphabet are very important. Even letters like Q and U. You know, and I thought about you and you, and I thought about they always go together, but they don't. Sometimes you have words that start with a U. And I tried to look up and see how many times Q and U would be used together, and I found one word that did not use a Q and U together. It's a funny word. Q-W-W-A-L. That's one time. There are some letters like A and E that go together. They're used a lot together. The same way, if you think about the church, if you would please, as being a typewriter, a set of letters. Each individual is a letter. Each individual is important. And there are some individuals that go together and can make one kind of message and others a different kind of message, just like making different words. And each individual is used in the church to produce messages of the gospel of Christ. We're all very important. Every one of us is set in the church for a purpose to fulfill our place. Like writing a letter on a typewriter. Turn over, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we won't begin reading here with verse number 1. Well, let's start with verse 14 for the sake of time. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I have no need of you, is it therefore not the body? You know that I can't say to the E, you're not as important as me. The Q can't say to the Y, you're not as important, you're more important than I am. They're all important. That's what he's talking about here. And the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were the smelling, where would we be? In verse 18 he says, but now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body as pleased him. Every member of this church, God put here. I didn't put it here. You didn't put it here. We didn't by choice go out and do it. God did it. We can't add anybody to the body. God adds to the body. Acts 2 and verse 47. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It's kind of like being born in a family. You know, when your brother comes, you couldn't say you didn't want him. You didn't ask for him. Here he's born in the family. It's part of that. He's part of the body and he has a purpose. And he is very important. You are very important to the body. We read on here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 19, he says that if they were all one body, where were the body? But now many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, so much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we have bestowed more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. We are the body. You are part of this body, of this congregation. And every one of us is important. It's important that we show up. You know, you're typing on that typewriter and you got a key that sticks sometimes. You know, sometimes it works, sometimes it don't. It's kind of aggravating, isn't it? It's kind of frustrating. Maybe you never tried typing on one of those old typewriters. Now we got computers and people don't seem to have that problem. But even computers, sometimes you'll hit the key and nothing happens. You know, it can mess things up. And each one of us is a key in this typewriter of this congregation, of the messages that we send out. And if you're missing, part of the message is missing. There's words. There's things that cannot be said. There's things that cannot be done. Part of our message is hindered, for those words cannot be uttered that you were a part of. It cannot be said that you stood for Christ. Each and every one of us edifies the church. But you know that people think, well, the preacher, he gets up and hits you and all that. He's the one that does the edification. No. When I see you, it's edification to me. And I hope when you see me in church and see my face, I hope it's a smile, but I hope it's edification to you. We are to edify each other. We teach each other simply by being there. By showing up. The Bible teaches us that. That we edify, that we receive edification from one another. Romans 14 and 9, he says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Kind of things we're supposed to follow after. Things that where we edify each other. And all this comes together to make this typewriter. Or like making a meal. To make this meal. You know, if you're going to make a meal, it takes many different things to make that meal come together. To make that food. Many different ingredients. And we're like all those different ingredients. But I heard someone say one time, I got nothing out of church. I don't get anything out of church. Why should I ever go to church? Because tomorrow I won't even remember what the preacher said. The next day I have no idea what was said. I've heard that many times. I don't remember. I've even asked people, what the preacher preaching was. I don't know what the sermon was about, but you know, I don't remember. Well, that's no big deal. That doesn't mean you didn't receive strength, edification, and growth. Let me ask you something. What did you have for lunch Friday a week ago? Do you remember? Well, it doesn't mean that that didn't fill the needs of your body. It doesn't mean that it didn't help you grow. Just because you can't remember the last three or four sermons of what was preached to you last year doesn't mean that you didn't receive benefit from it and you didn't get spiritual growth from it. So we get fed. And it takes all of us to make the meal come together like it's intended to be. Like God wanted it to be. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. There's not any one of us that's the cake. That's the icing on the cake. Or that's the butter beans and peas. You know, not any one of us. It takes all of us together to make the meal. And none of us are the steak. But we're parts of it. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. We'll start reading verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same as that ascended up from above all heavens, that he might fill all things. We're talking about Christ. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body, till we come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things which are headed in Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effect of working, in the measure of every part, make it increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Notice verse 16. No, I'm not an apostle. I'm not a prophet. I'm barely a teacher. But that doesn't mean that I don't have something to make a contribution. And the same is true for you. God has given every one of us a measure of faith. And we all have our own talents and abilities and the things that we can use to bring together. And we all bring part of it together and we make the body. Just like he said in verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together. And compacted by every joint. You know, every joint supplies something. It supplies something. Just like every ingredient in a meal supplies something. Even the salt supplies something. You ever tried to eat butter beans without salt? I went to see some people and they cooked without salt because, you know, they didn't want that nuts. Frankly, they lost their taste. I didn't like them anymore. But you know, that's what it's like when you don't show up at church. There's something missing. What should have been don't taste like it should have. When you're not there, you know, it's like the sugar out of the cake. When you're not here, you are important to this congregation. You are a part of it, and you have built it up, and whatever talents you are, have or don't have, that's what you are. And God wants you to be in it. He put you in it. Every member brings something to the congregation on Sunday mornings. You bring something that only you can bring. It's unique to you. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We're going to begin reading verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think in himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dwelt to every man that measure faith. None of us have anything to be puffed up about. None of us are great. We're all just people. Okay? But God has given every one of us a measure of faith. For if we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office or the same function, we don't have that same function. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another, having been gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, for the prophecy, let us prophecy according to the portion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry, or he that teaches on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation, abhor that which is evil, and cleave that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one toward another, with brother love and honor, preferring one another. You see, we're all very important in this. We all have a part to play. God put us all in the church with our own special purpose. And when you come, you know, you bring that special purpose. You bring a special edification that nobody else could bring. You bring a special exhortation that nobody else could bring. The only place that exhortation takes place is not up here. It takes place in a private church building when we're talking to each other, when we greet one another. In 1 Timothy 4:13, he says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation and doctrine. We exhort one another. Hebrews 13:3, but exhort one another daily, while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Our exhortations are necessary to help us, to strengthen us, to make us stronger against sin. And when we come, we bring comfort to each other. It's comforting to me to see you sitting in your place. It's discomforting to me when your spot's empty. There were some ladies that came with us, older ladies that used to be here, and I remember them well. And it was comfort for me to see them here. And when they passed away and had gone, it's now, you know, it's uncomfortable. It's not comforting to see their spot missing. But it's even more concerning and discomfortable or uncomfortable or whatever word you might want to use when your spot's empty and you're either sick physically or you're sick spiritually. Something's wrong, you see. And each of us can provoke one another to love and good works. You provoke me and I provoke you. I need your provoking, you need my provoking. And the Bible teaches that we do that. Well, I might skip this verse. I want to be sure and put it in there while I talk about comfort. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even if you also do. Comfort yourselves together. And then we are to provoke to love and good works. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Does all that sound familiar to you? Let us draw near with a true heart and have assurance of faith. Having ourselves, you know, sprinkled with that evil conscience, our bodies washed in pure water, Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. And in parentheses, meaning they added that, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke and to love and to good works. We ought to provoke each other to love and to good works. But and then he says in verse 25, the next verse, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. I see you Sunday, brother. Yeah. Hope to see you there. We encourage each other. You know, God put you in the church for a unique purpose. He has a mission for you that only you can do. You're an important part of the family. You are a special brother or sister in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. For by one Spirit we're all baptized in one body. Whether it be Jew or Gentile, you know that means regardless of race or nationality, whether it be bond or free, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're male or female, and have been all made to drink in the one Spirit, for the body is not many members, not one member, but many. The body is not one member, but many. God is counting on you to type. When your key is pressed, He expects you to function. To write the message, to send out the message of the gospel of Christ. This congregation is counting on you to function, to be a key that works, so that we can write the words, the message, to send out the message of Jesus Christ in the hearts of men. How's your type working? How's your key functioning? That's our lesson for you this morning. And if you're not a member of the body of Christ, we urge you to do so, for that's where salvation is in the body. For by one Spirit, we're all baptized in one body. We give you the opportunity this morning to come to be baptized in the body of Jesus Christ, become a part of His family. And if you're here today and you need the prayers of the church, we'll give you that opportunity. You know, we are to pray one for another, that we might be healed. James says, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another. If you're here this morning, you need to pray for the church, if you need to be baptized in Christ, let it be known. We stand and sing number 100.